The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, June the 5th, 2024. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
I'm here.
That's it?
That's it.
You showed up?
Showed up, I'm 90, here.
90% of life is just showing up. Wesley says, I'm here. I'm here. What do you want? Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
So all of us are in studio today here in Tupelo, MS. We thank you for joining us. Steve Paisley Jordahl will be along the next hour.
It just seems official when we're all in studio together. I understand that can't be the case for some of our co-hosts and others, and we have guests on occasionally, but everyone's here in studio.
Eyeballing.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
Hold each other accountable. You got
a quarter of a brain there.
That's right.
Quarter here.
Quarter here.
With Ed and a quarter with you.
That's right.
Hey, Brent's in the room. We got a brain and a quarter in this room.
We're overdoing it.
What we lack in individual talent, we make up in groupthink here.
And become totally mediocre.
We rise to the level of mediocrity.
After all that we do that.
Okay, Fred, what's the first story you got there for us?
Well, the nation can breathe a sigh of relief this morning. A sigh of relief. Because President Joe Biden, he now says he's taking steps to secure the southern border.
And I thought it was already secure, according to Alejandro Mayorkas.
6 months ago, Mayorkas
didn't say it was secure. He said there's nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong?
Yeah. Well, he has answered that it's secure.
Yeah.
And no problem, nothing to see here.
Right.
Yes.
Now, all of a sudden, Biden's going to solve the problem that he said didn't exist.
Didn't exist.
Yeah, a big announcement yesterday from the White House. And I say a big announcement because they've been talking about this for days.
Yes.
And so finally, he goes to a podium yesterday at the White House, and he says, because those Republicans wouldn't pass that legislation, that bipartisan legislation, I have to do something about what's going on at the border. Now, here's what he had to say, and we've kind of alluded to this the last couple of shows. He says the encounters at the border cannot exceed 2,500 a day. But a lot of people...
Total along the American-Mexican border, huh?
2,500 a day is what they say. However, this is where reading the small print really becomes important.
Sir.
Because there's a list as long as your arm of exemptions to this.
Correct.
So besides the 2,500 that they're going to allow in every day, the exemptions include non-citizens... determined to be victims of severe forms of trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals arriving at ports of entry with a CBP-1 appointment. Basically, these poor folks who all seem to have cell phones can dial up the Homeland Security and make an appointment, all right? And any migrant that a Customs Border Protection officer allows in based on, listen to this quotation, the totality of circumstances are due to operational considerations. Now, if that doesn't sound like bureaucrat official...
Mumbo jumbo.
Mumbo jumbo.
Say that again?
Mumbo jumbo.
I'm trying to under.
not mumbo jumbo.
Yes,
we don't need that again.
That sounds like something Biden would say, but
the definition of one of the exemptions there, that one.
Yes,
you just read?
Officer allows. It's based on the quote, the totality of the circumstances or due to operational considerations. End quote.
That's a big bunch of nothing.
Yes,
that's exactly.
All right. Additional.
That means everybody gets in.
You know, they actually, he's going to keep going here, but they actually do that, you know, four or five times, and they just swap words around.
Yes.
But he's about to do this again.
Like Mexican restaurant menu.
Yes. It's still rice, chicken, and tortillas.
Right.
No matter how you change.
They just switch the names around.
That's it.
Throw in a pepper sometimes every once in a while.
Some onions. Sometimes it's fried. Right. Sometimes it's deep fried.
The 250 things they have listed, it's all the same thing, just mixed in different ways.
Good
but anyway.
Point.
Additional exemptions. We're not through yet with the small print. Apply to those with, quote, an acute medical emergency. Mr. Border Agent, I think I'm going to have appendicitis.
Yes.
And those who face, quote, an imminent and extreme threat to life or safety. All right. The memo then lists ways a non-citizen can express a fear of return to their home country, which includes non-verbal indicators.
Oh,
this is crazy. Simple statements such as, I'm afraid to go to my country.
You know, I've heard enough, Fred.
No, but one more.
Okay, continue on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Or I'm afraid of the government or governing group are listed as examples of non-citizen manifesting fear. In other words, they can still show up at the border and say, I'm coming from a country that I fear my government. You're in.
You're an exception.
I'm gonna give you, Tim. Now, folks can't see this, but I'm going to give you a non-verbal communication. Okay.
Okay.
I'm giving the sad puppy look.
Right. How about if they blink four times quick? That means let me in.
That's Morse code there.
Listen, now let you comment. Okay, folks, we're kidding around here, but this is a serious issue, number one issue for a lot of American voters.
Well, he seriously did that too. That was yesterday.
Yes.
Yes.
What you have, and you know, I think everybody sees this for what it is.
Sure.
Biden has been a colossal failure on defending our border, protecting our country. Colossal failure. I think truth is not in his mind. He's done a wonderful job because he's let millions and millions and millions of people in.
Yes.
It's just obviously intentional on the part of Biden and the Democrats. When I'm elected, I'm going to invite a surge.
That's what he promised.
That's verbatim.
Yep.
That's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he did. It's hurt him. It's hurt him and the Democrats in the polls, and they're worried sick that it's going to hurt them in November, both in the congressional and senatorial races, as well as Biden v. Trump. This issue is going to stay in the forefront of people's minds. So, what do they do? What does Biden do? They create this executive order, which ostensibly is supposed to slow down greatly illegal immigration into our country or people coming here just walking across the border. So they've said, well, we're going to limit it to 2,500, right?
A day,
which as Wesley and I were talking this morning, that's like saying, you know, we're going to set the speed limit at 70. But as long as you don't go over 89, we're probably not going to ticket you.
Yep.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's saying. So that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That you say 2,500. It's like people showing up, you know, you're going to have turnstiles with numbers.
Right.
We're going to be, okay. We
hit the daily limit.
We hit the daily limit.
You have to wait.
Yeah, but you also got to include the list.
If you had the 2,500, and what you're saying is he's also but these list of exemptions that Fred just listed off, which the wording of those are just says any and everybody can come for whatever reason they want.
It's
they
a sieve.
It up.
It's a sieve.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Yeah.
There can be all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So this is just. This is a fraud. This is a they're trying to hoodwink, I guess, independent voters who might not be had their minds made up on this issue, or not to say, hey, we're doing something, we're about it anyway.
Let me just toss one additional thing in, okay? Just to show you how corrupt the left is when it comes to issues like this. Now, I'm sure we have some listeners who will say, look, are you guys making fun of someone at the border who has acute appendicitis? You're saying they can't be let in? You just want them to die of an acute medical condition? All right, here's my answer. The reason there are people with acute medical conditions on our border is because President Biden, when he was a candidate, said, y'all come.
Yes,
right.
That's why they're on the border.
And
now,
we'll pay for your health care.
And we'll pay for care. California's paying for their health care. In New York City, I think it's something crazy, like 25 or 30% of all the hotels in the city are given over to homeless and illegal immigrants, all right? So the problem isn't, if there was someone on our border who is having a heart attack and they were trying to get in, I would say absolutely. We're not callous, okay? Absolutely take them to a hospital and give them treatment. But the reason they're there, the reason they're not in Ecuador, and the reason they're not in Honduras, all right, is because President Biden said, everybody come. We'll take care of you.
Right.
And that's
incentivized them to come.
So what the Democrats do is they say, look at those heartless conservatives. They want people to die on our border who have these conditions.
And that's just,
no, we want them to stay in their country.
Right.
And a certain percentage we let in legally every year.
Anyway, that was an executive order that Biden did yesterday. It's all window dressing, trying to.
The one thing I'll add to this is another way of the Democrats changing the definition of what's illegal. Because if you think about this, a couple months back, here's an illustration to kind of parallel. Ben Crump, a civil rights attorney who's identical to Al Sharpton as it relates to race baiting, he said, how we can get rid of crime, we can lower it tomorrow, we can just about do away with it, and here's a strategy. We're going to change the definition of what a crime is.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not going to be a crime, this is not going to be a crime. Well, this, he's saying right here, we're going to change the definition, because we already have a legal process.
Right.
So instead of spending government money and government time helping funnel in and coordinate and even expand or make more efficient the legal process, he could spend his energy making the process of legal immigration more efficient, making it better, all those things. That's where his energy could. We want immigration. Here's how we're going to do it. Instead of doing it that way, he's doing it illegally and just lowering the number or trying to present a lower number.
He's changing the definition of what's illegal. Legal.
Yeah, because they're still not coming in. You still had the legal process going on while he's inviting 2,500 in this executive order. So you're just changing the definition of what illegal immigration is.
All right, next story, Fred.
Well, I'd like to play you a little bit of reaction to all of this. Oh, yeah. First to my favorite senator, Louisiana Senator.
Yeah, we've got to go. If it's
John Kennedy.
If it's John Kennedy, we have to play the clip.
Yeah, here's his response to the Biden announcement, cut four.
There can be an unlimited number of people coming into our country illegally so long as they come through a port of entry. And it'll take the cartels a skinny minute to figure that out, that loophole out.
Yeah, and that's what he's talking about, because part of the exemptions is unaccompanied minors.
Yes.
So these cartels can just, and we've seen video of this, throw these kids over the border wall.
Well, and these kids are being trafficked.
Yes.
And that's one of the exemptions.
Yes, yes. This is horrible.
So these cartels are getting paid. Who knows how much they're getting paid for each kid?
Yes.
Each unaccompanied minor that they take up there, they're getting paid a bunch of money.
Yep.
The cartels are getting strengthened. And because these kids are unaccompanied minors and they're being trafficked, they get in.
Well, we handled this in a lot more clarity than President Joe Biden did when he announced this, because he had a hard time getting through it without stuttering and stumbling.
Yeah.
It was pretty embarrassing on another level.
Yeah, and one other related story. I mentioned this in our story meeting this morning, guys. In California, the Democrats are about to make law that makes it easier for illegal immigrants to get taxpayer funds. Are you ready for this? This piece of legislation that they're proposing will direct the University of California system to begin hiring illegal immigrants for taxpayer-funded state jobs. So if an illegal...
That's in California, right?
This is in California.
Are they still part of the country? Or do you know? Does anybody know?
California?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they are. Okay. Listen, we talked about this in the story meeting. This is essentially giving preferences to government jobs to illegals, because if you have three openings and you have California citizens wanting those jobs, but then California has said preference should be given to illegals for jobs, you're going to be giving the jobs to illegal immigrants rather than American citizens.
Yeah. We have one more reaction. This is Congresswoman Monica De La Cruz. She's a Republican from Texas, as you can tell by the name, an Hispanic lady. As she knows, and she says her constituents know, the border deal is nothing more than an election year scheme. Cut three.
What it does is it shows that Joe Biden is losing at the polls. And most importantly, he's losing the Hispanics all around the state of Texas, especially in the border counties like mine. This is why Joe Biden finally, after 3 years of allowing chaos into our country, has decided to do the bare minimum.
Yeah, so yeah. If this is a bid to appease Hispanics, which polls have shown are moving away from the Democratic Party, it's not working, because Hispanics, people who have come into this country legally or are second, third, fourth generation, they are just as upset as other Americans about what's going on at the border.
Well, I mentioned earlier about the hotel rooms in New York City. Mm. So quick search, and I found this. A staggering 121 New York City hotels. This is the New York Post. A staggering 121 New York City hotels have been taken off the market and converted into migrant shelters, raising concerns that a space crunch and pricier rooms will tank tourism. Some 16,000 former hotel rooms now booked to help with the influx of migrants into the Big Apple, as the room rate for actual hotels, where the rest of the people can stay, has soared past $300 a night. Now, I had mentioned 20%. Yeah. I think it's this article says 15% of all hotel rooms in New York City now set aside for immigration, because illegal immigrants are headed towards the Big Apple.
Well, that really only makes sense because supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
So if the hotels in New York City are full... A lot of them are full because of illegal immigrants that have flooded the city, and they put them up, and New York pays for it. I guess the city and the state.
Is the city and state, or is the government?
Well, it's the city or state government. Probably the city government.
When I say government, I meant federal government.
They probably, when the Biden administration says we need to help with these immigrants, I'm guessing New York City at some point is going to ask the federal government, say, listen.
Well, he has been, Adams, mayor.
We got to have help.
But the point is that that limits, that reduces the number of hotel rooms that are available to the public. And New York City's a big place for international commerce and business, right?
So, right.
And people visiting their families from around the world. So that squeezes. That makes the room numbers go down that are available, because so then the prices go up.
And let me tell you something else. If these people who...
Then you end up with $350 for a day's in.
Yeah. If these people trash these hotels, okay, I guarantee you the city's paying for that. These hotels are... I'm sure these hotels are saying to New York City, you want to tell us we have to? Hmm. You're paying not only the rates we set, mm-hmm. but any damage done, you pay for it.
Sounds like common ground. Again, we should have a whole show with common ground with the liberals, because that's kind of what we said from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Right? Think about
what's
it.
That?
That's that if you're going to make Texas do this, if y'all should host, y'all bring them on in, why stop the border? Then, we'll send them to you.
Yeah.
And now that the liberal states have them,
listen,
they're saying,
right,
well, we need help. Why don't y'all come to it?
Oh, the Mayor Adams, the big city, they're saying we need money for from the federal government to do this, to house these people.
Because it's the federal government's policy that's letting them all in.
We both agree it's a problem.
Yeah, you know, you get what you incentivize.
That's right.
And Biden and the Democrats have incentivized illegal immigration from around the world, and that's what we're getting. And this attempt to say we're doing something, Biden yesterday and the Democrats, they're not doing anything. It's like I said, when you list all those exemptions, it negates the whole executive order. Anyway, let's move on. Next story.
Well, yesterday, Attorney General Merrick Garland appeared before the House Judiciary Committee. The chair of that committee is Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. And high on the list is a demand that the Attorney General turn over the audio tape of the interview that Special Counsel Robert Hur did with President Joe Biden in the midst of his investigation of the classified documents, which were found in several different places, including Biden's home garage. So here's Congressman Jim Jordan, cut six.
The White House and the Justice Department say we're impartial, we're independent, it's not based on politics. Oh, really? Then give us the best evidence. And the best evidence is the audio tape, so we can evaluate this in the context of Congress's duty in an impeachment inquiry to get all the evidence and evaluate that evidence.
Garland says, no, we're not going to do that. They handed over a transcript, but Jordan wants the audio of that interview because, remember, Special Counsel Hur's final report? He said, yes, there were classified documents all over the place. However, Special Counsel Hur concluded that because, and I'm paraphrasing here, that at points in the interview that he did with Biden, that the president sounded like a little old man,
right,
was confused, couldn't remember certain important dates, that a jury would feel so sorry for him, they would find him not guilty.
It's outrageous.
Yes, Congressman Jordan is saying, we want to hear the audio for ourselves,
right,
because there may be other things. But Attorney General Merrick Garland is saying, no way. And here's the excuse that Garland gave yesterday in this hearing. Well, you know, if we do that, then other people who come forward with evidence of a crime might be intimidated not to talk to us if they knew the audio of the interview was going to be made public. That's how Garland defended not turning over the audio.
Well, in this situation, though, that I don't buy that, because this is the President of the United States. Also, he is a candidate for office in November.
Yes.
And, okay, again, the truth is, how many times do we have to say this? The truth is that Merrick Garland is covering for Joe Biden, the president, in releasing these tapes, because they must sound really terrible for Biden, make him look bad, worse mm-hmm. than he does. That's on a legal standpoint. Mm-hmm. However, let me just say this. I think this has already been factored in, this mental decline on the part of Joe Biden, his obvious, cognitive
decline.
Decline has been on display for the whole world to see. I think people are factoring that in already. So I don't think the release of those tapes matter in that regard. Public already considering this as we look
well,
to November.
No, I don't think so. And here's why.
I'm your dad, so yeah. You don't publicly disagree with me. You call me aside during the break. I'm about to. Okay, but you go ahead. Be your own man.
Real quickly, why I do think that matters. We live in 2024, and people have a lot of people forget what happened the day before.
Like Biden.
I think if you keep it in front of them. I do think there is a reason, if you're a conservative, you're a Republican, that you want that to be released.
I think it's a public record. I mean, this is a big deal. I agree it should be released. I'm just saying I think people have already factored into their minds.
But it also points out the double standard compared with Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because if Biden does it and they excuse and make these excuses for why he did it, but then they hang this around Trump and Mar-a-Lago. The records.
I was talking about the cognitive decline part of it. But we'll try to figure all this out when we get back from the break.
Put our quarter brains together.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
One thing I've learned in life, if popcorn goes down the wrong way, you know it immediately.
That is true.
Huh? And yet you keep doing it.
And worse than water or any type of liquid.
Yeah.
Sweet tea or anything.
I think that goes for the human race, and yet you keep doing it.
That's true. which you learned when you and Allison were going through the Old Testament last year and reading all through the kings. It just good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, good king, bad, bad, well, bad, bad, bad. Also, why do you keep doing this?
Yeah, and also you keep going to the children of Israel, you're going, you just want to step through the pages of the Bible and go, what is wrong with you people?
Yes.
Huh?
You keep
another
doing
high place?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. Have we not seen what's happened here?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
And
you want to,
yeah.
And then the Lord says, "Yeah, let's
look
talk
at you.
About let's talk about you doing the same thing over and over."
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Ed, and Fred, we're joined now by Dr. Walter Windler, president of West Texas A&M University. Dr. Windler joined us a couple months ago, and we decided to have him back on to talk about a different topic. Dr. Windler, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Tim, and gentlemen, if I may use that term.
You are using that use loosely. Yes, you are. Believe me, I'm in the room with these guys. So you were on with us. When were you our guest?
About a month ago?
About a month ago.
And yet you haven't been fired.
No. No, I haven't. I'm still here.
I just figured somebody would get on your case about being on with Wildman and that bunch. Wildman and Company. And anyway, Dr. Windler, how long have you been there at West Texas A&M University? And you guys are, again, in the Amarillo area, right?
That's exactly right. Just a little south of Amarillo in a town called Canyon, Texas. It's right on the rim of the Palo Duro Canyon. I've been 8 years now at West Texas A&M.
Before I ask you about an issue, what's the focus of your job, your mission there? What do you want? What do you get up every day wanting to accomplish?
Well, you know, we want to serve. The first thing we want to do is serve the people of West Texas and serve locally. First, you know, a lot of times when you hear university leaders talk, they talk about a national or an international kind of agenda. I am focused on a local agenda. I want to understand the values and the commitments and the intents of the people of West Texas, the top 26 counties of Texas, which is the panhandle proper. You know, it's that little box at the top of Texas. I want to serve those folks first, because I believe that, especially in public education, it's like, and I don't often quote Tip O'Neill, but, you know, he said all politics were local. And I think all education is local also. So first thing we want to do is serve people here first. And the people here are very special. They have a different view of the world than many, many folks. And what I want to do every day when I get out of bed in the morning, when my feet hit the floor, I want to serve the folks in the Texas Panhandle with a very fine and distinctive regional university here.
I wanted to ask you what's been happening. You, higher education, you're obviously the president of a university. We've seen what's happened, although it's faded somewhat, but we've seen what happened in the last couple of months with some of these demonstrations by students across the country that have been against Israel, anti-Semitic, very anti-Semitic.
Pro-Hamas.
Pro-Hamas. Anti-American. They call it colonialism. They call it, you know, I don't know, white supremacy, on and on the list goes. It's the same folks from Antifa and meaning in the BLM and, you know, Occupy Wall Street, these far left groups, but these students protesting. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And also, what is the, is there any role in higher education in communicating history and patriotism?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, Tim. There is a role in communicating true history and real patriotism. It's part of our job. You know, one of the problems in higher education is in an effort to serve everybody, many universities have lost any moral compass at all. And I'm not ashamed to say, I mean, I say to people, look, I'm a Christian man. I believe Jesus Christ came to save my soul and everyone else that wants him. And to hear that at a public university is a fairly radical perspective. But I think it's important because it's a moral compass. And I don't tell everybody they have to follow my moral compass, but I want them to know, almost as a matter of being honest and transparent, this is what I believe. And if my actions and my leadership at the institution doesn't line up with a biblical perspective, somebody needs to say to me, hey, you're not walking the walk here, and you need to. But that doesn't mean that everybody here believes the same way that I do. I mean, we have to be open to new ideas and different ideas and so on and so forth. But the place I start is having a moral compass that is founded on what I consider to be the founding values of the nation. And I think values that are still resident in the Texas Panhandle. It's a very, I'll use the word conservative. It's not a perfect word to describe the folks here, but it's a very conservative, practically minded, feet flat on the floor view of the world that says, it's still a handshake culture up here, Tim. We have a handshake culture up here. I do all things all the time on a handshake. And I'm very comfortable with that. And I like it because I think it's American, to be honest with you. And I think there is a role for universities to promote that kind of behavior and that kind of leadership by example. And it bothers me to see, you know, in terms of Hamas and Israel and the anti-Semitism embedded in that, it bothers me. But it's also not new. I can tell you 10 years ago at UCLA, there was a young woman there, Rachel Beta, who was in student government, and they wanted her to be on a committee of student government. And they initially disbanded her didn't allow her to be on this committee because she was a Jew and she was afraid of her views of the Palestinian conflict. So actually much older than that. You were talking about kings. I mean, this goes back a long, long way. And the fact of the matter is, this, you know, that's just wrong. And actually, in the end, the Daily Bruin, the UCLA newspaper, they got it right. And they said, look, this is wrong. You can't keep her off this committee because she's a Jew. By the way, this is not much different than what William Buckley experienced at Yale, that he recorded for posterity in God and Man at Yale. You know, Buckley was a Catholic at an institution that was largely Protestant. And William Sloan Coffin was on the board and led the review committee of Buckley's transgressions. And basically, Coffin said that maybe Buckley should have attended a university that was welcoming to his kind. And he used the example of Fordham, which everyone knows is a Catholic university. That, you know, that is, it just doesn't make sense at a public institution. And it doesn't make sense at a private institution. Yeah. I'm glad in Texas our governor, Governor Abbott, put out a proclamation, not a proclamation, excuse me, an executive order at the end of March of this year that basically disallowed these kinds of protests and encampments. And said that they were anti-Semitic and that was inappropriate at the public university. I mean, the fact of the matter is that business turns into a form of hate speech when you call for the annihilation of a race of people. And I think we need to be very careful in a public institution to condone or allow that, condone it by allowing it. And right. I just think we haven't done that here. We will not do it here. I would just say, no, we're not going to do it. I've said it before on certain issues. We will not disparage any group of people on this campus as a matter of policy. And allowing something like what's gone on with the, you know, all this from the river to the sea business, yep. which basically doesn't allow Israel a square inch of land.
No. From the river to the sea means kill all the Jews.
That's exactly what it means.
Right. That's what it means, because exactly they're talking about from the River Jordan to the sea, Mediterranean Sea, get rid of them.
Right.
Or at least get rid of them as they exist in the land of Israel. Dr. Winter, we got to go here, but tell the folks where they can read more about your school.
Yes, I'm glad to do it, Tim. We're at West Texas A&M University, WTAMU.edu, and there's a lot of things to read about West Texas A&M, and we are the most conservative public university in the state of Texas. There's a study on there that talks about why, and it's a very special place, and I would encourage people that are looking for a distinctive approach in higher education that they should look right here at a very efficient and high-quality educational experience.
Thank you, Dr. Winter. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Dr. Walter Wendler joining us from the Panhandle there in Texas. And that he is the president of West Texas A&M University.
So Christian conservative universities still exist.
They're a public school, but they are tolerant of Christian conservatives.
Yes, yes.
That's stunning.
Yes.
That's an exception.
That's a public school that's not discriminatory against people who are Christians, which is in ways we could talk about and have talked about.
And they are promoting conservative ideas at the university.
Unashamedly so.
Yeah, I was looking at an article here from the Texas Tribune that quotes Dr. Wendler at an event in 2023. And he says, I want West Texas A&M University to champion ideas rather than ideology. And I like that distinction. Ideology blinds you to the value or the potential truth of ideas that aren't a part of your ideology. To me, it seems like Christianity provides the best basis for examining America's history and saying, you know what? Here are the things we did right, and yes, here are the things we did wrong, because you know what? America was made up of human beings, and the Bible says human beings do both good and bad. And to me, Christianity gives you the freedom to do that, but leftist ideology doesn't allow you to say America did many good things. It only allows you to say America did bad things.
And the irony, again, as we've said here before here, and I think this is original with me. I'm not trying to brag on myself.
No, absolutely not.
I wouldn't try to do that.
I'll correct you if you get it wrong.
Okay, well, you do that, son. You know I have a will, right? Okay. And there's three of you, right?
All kinds of things can happen, Wesley.
It could become two.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying. The irony of the left wingers is that they are constantly putting down our country, the United States of America, as a remember there in the George Floyd riots and all that?
Systemically racist.
We're supposed to be called a systemically racist nation, which means there's no hope for you.
Right.
Yeah. Basically. Okay, and what do these lefties do? They say, hey, world, come to our systemically racist nation.
Yes.
And enjoy all the free benefits that we can give you. Come here illegally if you have to.
Yeah.
Huh? By the millions.
Yeah.
Why? Because you too can enjoy the systemically racist nation
yes.
that we all enjoy here.
Yeah. Ruled by white supremacists.
Right. Come to
yes.
You want to be ruled by white supremacists?
Yes.
Come to America.
Who elected at the time a 70-year-old white man as a president.
Right.
Are you talking
about the party? The party that says.
Are you talking about the Democrats?
Yeah, the Democrats.
If you're talking about Biden.
He was
more like
78. He's 81
at the time
now.
When they elected him.
He's moving on down the road. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Real quickly before we get to the next story, Fred, I wanted to say this. You know, with Trump, there's good Trump, bad Trump.
Yeah.
Is that right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Or is there only good Trump?
No. I champion ideas rather than ideology.
Okay. Yeah. So, and sometimes when you point out bad Trump.
Every human being is a mixture. That's my belief, including myself.
Good Trump, bad Trump. I got to point out bad Trump today.
Okay.
He has decided to try to defeat Bob Good, in Virginia. Bob Good is a congressman from Virginia, but he is also the chairman of the Freedom Caucus in the United States House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. And I've talked to many. I don't know Congressman Good personally. I think we've interviewed him a time or two. But I know people who he's good friends with Sandy Rios, and I know Jenna Ellis and other people who know him can vouch for his character and his credibility. And he is a staunch conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one of us. Now, his opponent, I don't know in the primary. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a fine man who's running against.
The guy who's running against it was a former U.S. Navy SEAL. And he's very.
Well, in my mind, that's all I need to know.
He's very conservative as
about
well.
About his discipline,
character.
But really, his challenger.
Yeah.
The gentleman's name I read about this morning. Aside, let me just say this. Trump is going after Bob Good because Good endorsed Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, during the primary.
Correct.
So Trump is doing the Godfather thing here. He's trying to take out anybody who hurts his feelings.
Mm.
Okay? And so that's why I say it's bad Trump. That's wrong. Trump says Bob Good is, and he does it in caps, bad for Virginia. And bad for the USA. And then he called him a backstabber.
The backstabbing is alluding to the fact he didn't endorse him.
Well, here's the thing about Trump. He'll say one thing today and another thing next week, and he'll not bat an eye, and they're totally inconsistent. He says about Nikki Haley, who ran against him, she's a fine person and will have a place in my administration.
That was after she backed out of the race.
He said that last week.
Yes, but he didn't say that before when they were competing against each other.
No, she was bird brain.
Right. Yes. When he was.
That's what I'm saying. He'll call somebody a bird brain, and then next week he says, "Hey, she's a great person."
He does that from a political strategy to get rid of someone
because he doesn't mean it. He's disingenuous.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm voting for him 7 times in November.
Yeah.
Don't misunderstand.
That's right.
Don't misunderstand me.
All 7.
I know what's at stake.
Yeah.
In this election.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to find multiple ways to vote for Trump.
Yes, I like
November,
it.
Okay, so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't vote for Trump.
The FBI is going to come to your house.
Huh?
If the FBI
comes to my house, I will show them how you can do this.
As a ministry, of course, we're not telling people who to vote for at
no,
all.
No, I'm saying me personally.
You personally, right.
Okay, 5 times. All right, so the point is, some people, I understand, I'm not trying to... I understand what's at stake in November. Okay,
sure.
I'm just saying, somebody needs to tell Trump when he's doing stupid stuff.
But the one thing I'll say about this is that it would be more. I know this is you can laugh about this, but it would be better if in these cases, and we've, you know, this has been going on. This is not the first time he's done this. He's been doing this for years.
You mean try to take out somebody who criticized him or something?
Or yes. So that's not been the first time. What I would say was for him, I would say, look, President Trump, all you have to do is support the person you're supporting. Cause I don't have a problem.
Well, you know what he'd say to you?
Yeah. I don't want to know. I don't want
to
know.
He would say, you need to.
Well, no, I would have been fired.
You need to cry and call me sir.
No, I would have fired. I would have been fired for giving him any criticism.
Okay. I want to just say, let me just.
I'm saying Bob there. Good. My point is Bob Good is not what Donald Trump calls him. Bob Good is a wonderful United States House of Representatives member and deserves kudos from conservatives not to be called bad for Virginia. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I do want to thank former President Trump for bringing bird brain back into the lexicon. Okay, now I thought it was wrong especially to call a woman bird brain. That was very insulting. I didn't like that. But in general, I like bird brain. I used to use it all the time. Seriously, growing up, I'd call people, you're a bird brain, and I had completely forgotten about
it. It went away until Trump went after Haley.
I completely forgot about it. And now when I'm out driving and someone pulls out right in front of me and then goes slow, I say, you bird brain, step on it. So he brought it back. I've brought it back. And I did make the mistake of calling my wife a bird brain the other day, and that didn't go over too well.
Which is why
I'm just kidding.
That's why Ed's been sleeping in his office the last couple of nights.
I'm anyway, just kidding, folks. I have never called my wife.
Anyway, next topic, Fred.
All right. You may have read some stories in recent days. President Biden recently gave an interview to Time magazine. I've read some of that article. It's fairly long. I would say to you, it's one of those articles that the reporter wants to tell you that Joe Biden is the greatest thing since vanilla ice cream, and they probably talk about
that had racial overtones, Fred.
Yeah.
I think vanilla? You need to revise that to be more inclusive. Like chocolate swirl.
I'm a fan, yes. Chocolate
okay,
swirl.
Something more, huh?
Yes.
Or you just avoid the racial element. Yeah. Just go, like in my case, mint chocolate chip.
Yeah. There you go. In that interview, he is asked about, obviously, what's going on in Israel right now, the war against Hamas. And it was suggested to him in the interview that some people think that Prime Minister Netanyahu is extending this war for political purposes. In other words, not just to eliminate Hamas, which is what Netanyahu has stated, but that because of Netanyahu's political problems at home, he is trying to please the Israeli people and is extending the war unnecessarily. Here's what Biden had to say to that. He says, there's every reason to draw that conclusion, end quote. Well, that doesn't sit well with people like Jim Henson, who is the chief editor of the Middle East Forum. This is what he had to say about that. Cut number five.
It was an obscene thing to say about the leader of a U.S. ally. I mean, the Biden administration has the mistaken notion that somehow Israel is the problem, the Palestinians are the victims, and Iran is the solution. And that's just madness. They are the ones who have caused these problems. They should have backed Israel's play from the beginning. Hamas needs to be removed as any type of a factor if there is ever going to be peace in Gaza of any kind.
Well,
who was that?
This was Jim Henson, chief editor of the Middle East Forum.
That was well said.
It's well said. Well, that's another problem that I think people are considering and when they're looking at this election and Joe Biden, because a lot of people in this country are believing that the support from this country, it was good initially. I was very pleased with what I saw back on October 7th and 8th and 9th in those early days. But since then, because I think of pressure that Biden is facing from within his own party coming up to this election, that he is now wavered, and he's willing to be openly critical of Netanyahu on this. Listen, Netanyahu has stated Hamas must be eliminated. Hamas is a cancer. And if you're diagnosed with cancer, the last doctor you would go to is a doctor who would say, hey, we're going to kill some of the cancer cells, but we want to leave some in place.
Right.
And we hope they don't cause damage. Netanyahu says no. And there's some kind of, we're told, some kind of appeal for a settlement right now. But you know what? And it would involve Israel giving up all kinds of terrorists who they have in jail right now. They say they would release all the hostages, but Hamas has not responded to that proposal yet. So, again, Joe Biden turning on, as Mr. Hansen says, our chief ally in the Middle East.
I'll tell you something else. I know that's the music. We have a break coming up. If Israel is not allowed to finish off Hamas, you got Hezbollah up in Lebanon. They're watching how this plays out, too.
Yes.
So,
all right. Thank you, Fred.
All right.
We're going to take a short time out right here, and then we shall return. Steve Paisley Jordahl will be joining the panel when we get back from our break. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.